Well, welcome everybody, and if you're at home today, gosh, we miss you so much, and we're excited to see you. I hope you can come for the drive-in service next week. That'd be so awesome. Man, we love those guys in Costa Rica, Pastor Christian, Jessica, and everybody out there, Chip, Christ for the City International. What an awesome ministry, and it's so much fun. It was so much fun to go there and talk about that chicken coop and then to see it happen. Wow, it's so great. So it's just exciting to serve the Lord. I'm glad you're here today. Hey, so let's start, okay? I've been trying, I don't know about you, okay, but I've been trying to get up and do a daily morning exercise routine. Ooh, anybody trying to do that out there? Come on, come on. I mean, who doesn't want to get in better shape, you know? And when I saw Johnny Lane get in good shape, oh man, I thought, I got to be like that guy. Yeah, he did it. Good job. Keto diet, bud. Good job. But, you know, it's so hard, isn't it? It's really hard to get started. And right now, for me, honestly, I mean, I'm totally lame, and it's just hard to get out of bed. And, you know, but once I finally crawl, you know, out and I get the coffee and I open up the app, all right, the workout app, right, you know, it's time to get focused. And this app has this trainer guy. Time to get focused on the trainer. And it's good to have a trainer in your life, right? It's good to follow someone like that because he keeps you motivated. And so, you know, it's like you got the little weights and stuff and you're starting to go. And just a few minutes into the workout, you know, the trainer is already encouraging you to keep going. Keep going. Come on. You can do it. And, you know, he knows that half his audience is like already ready to quit and like they're losing their focus and all of that stuff. Or maybe they just can't get back up off the floor because they did a set of push-ups and sit-ups. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there. I'm feeling it, all right? Well, I love the trainer. There's two things that this particular trainer says that I've noticed. He says these things frequently, and he does it to keep you focused on finishing, okay? I know some of you are smiling because I know you'd be working out to work out things on apps, huh? Come on, it's not just me. Come on, but there's two things that he says. One thing he says, you're in the middle of working out, right? He's like, your greatest obstacle to getting in shape is right between your ears. It's true. I mean, it's right here in my brain. It's right there. And you know what he does when he says that, this trainer? He exposes the enemy to your progress right away. What's that enemy? It's doubt, the enemy of doubt. And doubt immediately, you know, begins to creep in and distract you from what you came to do. You had a goal, and now you're distracted. And you start to think, can I really even get into shape? Can I really do this every day? And so you're finding yourself already having a hard time focusing on what you're trying to do. Second thing he says, so again, you're working out, man, and just pumping it. And he says, those who say they can and those who say they can't are both right. They're both right. And what's he getting at when he's saying that? He's saying that if you really want to see change occur in your physical body, it's not even about the exercise at first. It's actually about what's in your head. He's talking about what you believe. Do you believe you can do it or not? What do you believe? The truth is that whenever we are challenged in life, doubt seems to be close by, doesn't it? It seems to be right there, and it's ready to resist what we want to do. So let me ask you, question today. What have you been thinking about? What have you been setting your mind on? Where is your mind focused today? What's in between your ears today? And every day, you know, each of us, we get out of bed, and there seems to be a lot of stress to deal with these days. Isn't that true? There's a lot of things we're seeing. There's a lot of things we're hearing on news channels, right? On social media or on various on-demand streaming services. Come on, we all do that stuff. And after a while, it can all really start to drive you mad. And ultimately, what it does is it kind of drives your mind away. It draws you away from what you should be fixed on. And that's kind of what I see happening. It's kind of what I feel is happening in the world today. There's so much information being thrown at us that it's become a great distraction. Do you feel that way? I've kind of been feeling that way. You know, we've been really focused on, you know, daily coronavirus updates. Daily. What's happening next? You know, schooling for our kids, right? They're going to stay home. They're going to go to school. What are they going to do? You know, politics and presidential races and riots and rallies and on and on and on. And I'm not even sure if hydrochloroquine works or not. I don't even know if a mask helps or not, right? I'm not sure if I should go outside or not. I mean, it's just all this stuff. You know, is the economy going to crash tomorrow? I don't know. Am I going to lose my job? Is it on the line? I don't know.
You're good.
Thank you. Woo! Well, the rest of this sermon is going to be stress-free, let me tell you. Thank you to my boss. My job is not on the line yet, but wait until I finish, all right? Well, let me tell you, there's some stormy seas out there right now. And I simply want to remind us today that the Bible teaches us that in these difficult and confusing and unstable times, we need to regain our focus, okay? Regain our focus. The Bible tells us, you know, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures today. I don't think we have them up there. We had some issues with that. So just listen to the scriptures that I give you, okay? I'm going to read them for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18. Here's what it says. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. On what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And we've got to be careful and realize that there are many distractions everywhere, all around us. And if we fix our eyes on all that stuff, we can quickly begin to sink into doubt. Why should we fix our eyes on what is unseen anyway? Why does the Bible teach us to do that? But here's why. Because when you do that, it shows great faith. It puts faith on display in your life. Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Why we fix our eyes on the unseen. This is what all those who we admire so much in the Bible, those who've gone before us, those heroes of the faith, you know, this is why we admire them, because they finished well and they were commended for their faith. For their faith. And I realized, guys, you know what faith is? Faith is focused. Faith is focused. You know what doubt is? Doubt is divided. Doubt is divided. And that's why doubt can be so destructive. When we become distracted, we become divided in our minds. Right in here, we get divided. And let me tell you this, division is exactly what our true enemy, the devil, would like to see happen in your life. Why? Why does he want to see that? Because he knows that if he can get your mind divided with doubt, right? If he can draw your gaze away from Jesus, then he can keep you from being focused. Why does he want to do that? Because he knows that when we are focused, we can do great things. Yeah. Like building chicken coops in Costa Rica to feed thousands of people. When we're focused, we can do that stuff. And he knows, the enemy knows that when we're focused, we're going to get farther and we're going to achieve more. That's why he wants your mind divided and distracted. Now, I want you to turn with me. I know we don't have the scriptures up today, but you probably all have a phone or a Bible with you. So open that thing up and turn to Matthew chapter 14. Okay? I just want to show you today, the rest of the sermon here, what focus can do. Here's what focus can do. A good example. Matthew 14, while you're getting there, let me set the stage for this. There's a bit of a frenzy here, okay? After Jesus has just performed a miracle, and it was the feeding of the 5,000. You know, and that number actually just represented the men who were there at this miracle. So actually there are thousands of people, many more people here gathered around. And the people are so amazed and they're so satisfied by what Jesus had just done that they were going to force Jesus to be their king right then. You're going to be our king. Well, that wasn't what his plan was. So he had to shift gears. And Jesus had to shut things down, right? And he had to find somewhere to be alone after this. And he knew everyone was going to follow him, right? Unfortunately, nobody really wanted to follow him because they wanted to be his disciple. They just wanted more food. But he knew they were going to follow him. And so here's what he tells his disciples. He says, "You guys, get into that boat over there and take off. Go across the sea. I'm going to go this way and get alone and dismiss the crowd," okay? So we're going to pick it up right there, Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22, okay? It says this, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night," so some time has passed, "later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it." All right, so Jesus, he's up on a mountaintop way up there. Okay, and the disciples are way down there in the sea, kind of far apart. And you know, the Sea of Galilee was well known for its sudden storms that would come up. And now not only are the disciples way down there, and Jesus is way up there, but they're way out there, all by themselves. And they're a considerable distance away from shore. Without Jesus, and the storm starts kicking up. Things around them are starting to pick up. A lot of things are happening. They're probably getting a little freaked out right here, don't you think? They're starting to think whether they're going to survive this or not. Starting to wonder, is Jesus here? Where is he going to, when are we going to see him again? You know, how are we going to get help? You know, their minds are just starting to turn. But what do they have to do during that time? They just have to keep rowing. They can't quit now. They can't quit. They got to keep going. And they row and they row and they row all night until early morning. Very early in the morning, they see something out on the water. Matthew 14:25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to him, "Take courage. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter does something that is just completely outside of the box of what you would ever think to do in this situation. He says, "Let me come to you." I'm thinking, are you crazy, Peter? You have lost your mind. You are delirious. You've been rowing too long. But here's what he says in verse 28. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I'm thinking, wow, what a bold move that was. Right? No one really knows why Peter made such a bold request. You can't really explain it. Maybe he had just been with Jesus so long that his first thought was something like, you know, if it's Jesus, then anything is possible. Maybe he had learned that. I don't know, but this was his first reaction. And Peter had this amazing moment of focus. He was focused on Jesus. And he actually started walking on the water. I mean, he did it. Do you see what can happen when we're focused on Jesus through all of the difficulty, through all of the storms that you're going through? When we get aligned with Jesus, great things begin to happen. And that's what our enemy wants to stop in your life. And he's going to do it by causing as much mental anguish in you as possible. He can't do anything to you, but he can put all kinds of stuff right here in between your ears. And because you doubt, you're divided. And you're no longer focused. See that strategy? And here's what happened. Here's what happened. Matthew 14:30. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. And he said, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" It's interesting what Jesus says here. He asks one question. One question. Why did you doubt? What a powerful question that is to ask. Because Peter was looking at what was happening around him. And the wind looked strong. And it looked mighty. And it looked noisy. And he became divided in his mind. And suddenly he had the thought that the wind and waves might actually prevail. They might beat him. They might be stronger than Jesus. Thought entered his mind, and so he loses his focus. And doubt enters his mind, and Peter gives way to fear. And isn't that interesting? He was already walking on water. He was already doing it. But he still doubted it. You know, and it's just an interesting story to me that after all this time they spent together, Peter and Jesus, Peter's faith in Jesus, it doesn't stay focused long enough to just take a few more steps. Just a few more, Peter. And it gets swamped with what's going on around him. So why did you doubt? That's the question for today. It's a question for us. Why do we doubt? Is there any real reason to doubt the promises of God? Is there any real reason to doubt Jesus? What Peter thought in that moment was actually only right here. It was only between his ears because what he thought wasn't true. It was a lie. And although the wind and the waves were all real, and it was a real distraction, okay, Peter forgot for a minute that Jesus was greater than all that. And that's what happens. And here's the only legitimate reason to doubt. The only reason to really doubt is to believe that the trouble we face is greater than Jesus. That's the only reason to doubt Jesus, to say he can't overcome it. So why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? It's a good question, huh? I want you to walk away today asking yourself that. Why do I doubt? Why do I do that? Here's some of the takeaways for today, okay? When we seem to be surrounded with the waves and the wind of the world, is there a reason to doubt? We know that Jesus is bigger than the wind and the waves. Amen? Is he bigger? When we feel like we're alone and we don't know where Jesus is, we can't see him, right? Is there any real reason to doubt? He knows exactly where to find us, even if we can't see him. He's on that mountaintop, and we're down in that sea, getting tossed by the waves, but he knows where we are. I guess he has a good GPS. He knows exactly where to find you out there, okay? When problems seem to arise in life, is there really any reason to doubt? We know that Jesus can calm the storms, and we also know that the problem isn't as bad as we think. It's not as bad as you think, because the problem is never bigger than Jesus. Amen? Come on, so the problem, if it's bigger than Jesus, it's just in your head. Jesus is bigger than that. So why do we doubt? He's still in control, no matter what you're going through. I think it's time for us to throw out doubt. Amen? I do. Now, the Bible teaches us some things on how to keep from sinking into doubt. And I just want to go through three quick things, right? And much of it begins right here in between your ears. The Bible teaches us this. One, we've got to renew our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Right? Yeah, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is this saying? This saying transformation starts here with what you're thinking about. It starts with where your mind is, where are you focused, What are your eyes fixed on? That leads me to number two. The Bible teaches us to fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Hebrews 3:1 says this. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. What does this mean? We get focused when we keep our eyes on Jesus. Right? So renew your mind. Right? Transformation starts in the mind. We get focused when we fix our eyes on Jesus. Number three. This is an interesting one. It says, ponder the things of God. Ponder the things of God. Why do I use that word, ponder? Psalm 107:43 says this. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Right? A divided mind comes from many distractions. What this is saying is that we can have a sharpened mind. We can grow wise. We can have a sharpened mind when we think about the right things. And all these verses, and there's so many more that you got to get into in God's Word. There's so many more that deal with this, but these verses suggest that it's wise to think about all this, to ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. It means to think carefully. Think carefully about how God has always been there to pull you out of fear and doubt and distress. He's always been there to pull you out. So we need to give what the Lord has done some deep consideration and some thoughtful consideration. And let me just tell you one more thought. You know, everyone has doubts. We all have doubts. We go through it. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to doubt. But we need to learn to get past it, and we have to stay focused on Jesus. As believers, we have to settle what's in our head. We have to settle it and decide where we're going to focus our attention. A lot of things are going to get put between your ears. Who knows, over this next few months, over this next election cycle, over the next year with corona, all that stuff, you're going to hear so much stuff, and a lot's going to be put in your head, but we've got to settle what we're going to focus on during that time. And Jesus said, what did he say? He said, look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's coming. Don't be afraid of what you hear. Take courage. Right? Because you can do great things when you stay focused. Here's the great news. The great news of this story. Even when Peter was still sinking down into doubt, Jesus saved him. He didn't let him go. And really, the final scene of that story, it leaves us with a moment that Peter and Jesus are standing together on the water, hand in hand. What an amazing sight. And then they walk back to the boat. And that is what Jesus wants to do for you. We got to reach out to him, and he'll pull you up, and he'll stand there through the trouble with you, carry you to safety. Amen? Why doubt? Why doubt? Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you teach us. Lord, the Bible isn't full of just feel-good stories. There's a lot of difficult things that you took people through. But you carried them through trouble. From cover to cover, God, you have pulled people out of distress. and anguish. And you've set prisoners free. And you've restored lives and you've blessed. And we thank you, God, for carrying us through. And you will not fail. You will carry us through the things that are to come. Teach us not to doubt, Lord. Teach us not to be divided, but teach us to be focused and fixed on you, because you're ready to do great things, and you do great things with your people. Amen. Amen.